Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. You made it here in the rain. I'm so glad to see you. If we haven't met yet, I'm Jamie. I get to be the pastor of East Cobb Church. And I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today. Been thinking about it all week. I know you've been thinking about it. Nothing at all. So I want to get you warmed up a little bit, kind of get you in where my headspace is. And here's what I want you to start thinking about. This question right here. Who are the people who made you who you are? Who are the people who made you who you are? Meaning there's like people in your life, and it's because of the season of your life that they were in, like whatever breadth of time, whatever role that they played in your life, because of that, your life is different. Or maybe you are different. Like your personality is different. Your trajectory was different. Your hobbies are now different. Your career might even be different. Your resume is different. The story you tell is different in one way or another because of these people in your life. That's what I want you to think about for a second, because it's going to be important for what we're talking about. And to lead the way, I came in with some of my own. I'm going to answer the question myself because I've got people in my life that it would, you know, the only fair thing to say is, man, they are who made me. They're the people that made me who I am in whole or in, at least in some part. So here are some of those people for me. For starters, you know, I got to talk about my parents. Okay, this is my parents, Marty and Betty Dickens. This is from the snow days in Nashville this winter. That's one of the pictures that we took. And they're amazing. My brother and I have amazing parents. I'm so grateful and thankful that I've had them in my life. And obviously, there's just like a zillion ways that they've impacted my life. But I tried to single out one that was kind of practical and tangible. And here's one that came to the surface, is my parents, and specifically my mom, placed a really high value on education. Like, hey, we're going to go to school, we're going to do our best, this is important, it's an investment in your future and all that. So like, you know, we grew up, and that was one of the many values that she planted in me. And it was that value that really fueled me later in life to go back to school and get my master's degree. Even though I was working full-time at Buckhead Church down in Atlanta at the time, I was trying to sustain a side business, you know, make an extra income for the family. And we were having four kids in quick succession. And you know, I was doing this all online, you know, trying to like just eke it out like one class at a time. Some of you have been there. But I did it and I graduated about 5 years ago. And this is my diploma, so let's go. I got a diploma, master's degree. Thank you, Mom. I know you're they're very proud. So this was one of the things, man, they made me in many huge ways who I am. Another is my brother. I have one brother, one sibling. He's older than me. There he is. He likes to act like he looks younger than me, but he's older. That's my daughter. He's letting her drive his boat. They have a lake house, and we were just there a few weeks ago. And it's a similar situation. Like, there's so many things and so many ways he's had an impact on my life, both, you know, serious and funny. But here's one that's peculiar to him and me, and really to me, is I remember being in middle school. I vividly remember this. It's like one of those memories of childhood that I just keep with me, or that stay with you. And I remember being in middle school, and he's like, hey, come here, I want to show you something. And we went out into the driveway, and I got in his 1986 CJ7 Renegade Jeep that he drove in high school. He took a CD, if you even know what that is, and he bing, put it in the CD player, and he played this song. And I was like, yeah! You know, like, this is Pearl Jam. It's their hit song from like 1991. He's blasting in his like new subs and JBL speakers he just installed. And I was just like, you know, my big brother's his favorite band. And since then, it's been my favorite band too. In fact, we go to any time they're in the Southeast, we go to the Pearl Jam concert. In fact, Matt Hazen, are you in here? Where are you? Yeah, we saw each other at the concert, like probably this far away. I was like, Matt, you're there, yeah. That was great, dude, a great concert. And so, to this day, he's made me part of who I am. I love Pearl Jam. It's just like part of who I am. Or here's another one. You don't know this guy. This guy's name's Dave Hunt. He's a musician. He's a worship leader in Nashville, Tennessee. I grew up here in Atlanta, but like late in high school, my dad moved our family there for his job. And Dave ended up being like my small group leader when I was in high school and a mentor when I was in college. Well, in college, I started getting into music. Just as a hobby, but also because of this, the FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, it's like a student ministry thing. They asked me like, hey, do you want to like lead worship for our gatherings? And I was like, with what? I don't even have a guitar, but I felt like God wanted me to. So I went to Dave and I was like, Dave, what do I do? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even have a guitar. And he's like, I got you. Let's go hang out. So he took me to downtown Nashville, right close to downtown, to a little guitar shop opposite the famous Pancake Pantry, if you've ever been to Nashville. And he helped me buy my first guitar, and I still have it to this day. And I played this thing for years and years. I ended up becoming a worship leader. We were in a band that led worship for like thousands of students at University of North Carolina, and it was with this guitar. This is a guitar I learned on, played on, and I mean, I don't do that anymore, but I still to this day, I love music. I love playing guitar. I love singing. Huge impact on a piece of who I am. I love music. Or here's another one, my best friend, Matthew. This is Matthew. We became best friends in high school and then on in college. But one of the big things with Matthew and I is he was the person who went with me after college to go be a missionary in a foreign country. We lived in this little country called Moldova. Are any of my Moldovan friends by chance in the room? Yeah, there you are. There's some of you Romanian Moldovans. Isn't that wild? Yeah, yeah, it's great. And he went with me. I mean, he was there for a year. I was almost there for 3 years. But it was his partnership in this thing with me that really changed the trajectory of my whole life and catapulted me into doing the work that I'm doing now, you know, like church work and ministry work. So huge impact on my life. And then, of course, finally, no one's had a bigger impact on me and who I am and where I'm headed than these people right here. This is my family. This is my wife, Sarah, Cashman, Peyton, Riley, and Austin. And yes, he makes that face in like every picture. We're working on it. I'm assuming it'll go away eventually. But he's always like, oh, it's a picture? You know, like, it's like, buddy, just like, you know, the eyes, get them a little lower. You want to go at me like, eek. But no, that will not work. That makes him cry. So those guys. Yeah, I mean, those are the people who've made me who I am, just some of them. I mean, of course, there's so many more. And the same is true of you. That's the point. That's why I asked you this in the beginning. I bet as I've been talking, you've been thinking about your list. Because you've got a group of people who've made you, in one way or another, who you are, right? Maybe it's also your parents, or maybe it's also a sibling, or a best friend, or maybe it's also someone you knew growing up, or someone you worked with, or someone you went to college with, or someone in your neighborhood, you know, whatever it is. You know, there's a group of people that made you who you are. And you could, if you had time, you could talk about them too. Maybe you'd even have props. You'd be like, let me show you this thing over here. Like, this is how this person impacted my life. Because someone or someone's made you who you are. You didn't become who you are by yourself. That's what's true of you. You didn't become who you are by yourself. And we could have story time to talk about that. But that's true, and you know that, and we'd all acknowledge that. Every single one of us can tell that story. But here's the truth that might be even more important. It's definitely more urgent, and it's what I want to talk about today. Not just that you didn't become who you are by yourself, it's that you cannot become who you need to be by yourself either. You can't become who you need to be by yourself. You can't become who you want to be by yourself. And you can't become who God is calling you to be, who he created you to be in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, in the next 15 by yourself. What was true then is still true to this day, no matter what stage of life you're in or how old you are. What was true of your past, it's true of your future. It's gonna be true of your future. You can't become who you need to be or want to be, who God's calling you to be, who your family wants you to be, who your career is calling you and needing you to be, what your hopes and dreams are gonna require you to be. And you can't become everything that God is so excited about you becoming on your own. You will only get there with other people. And you know this is true. Like, you know, we all intuitively know this is true. It's why you care so much about who your kids hang out with, right? Or if you don't have kids, your grandkids or niece or nephew or someone you're influencing. It's why you care so much and why you get so concerned if you find out they're hanging with some hooligans. You know, you're like, ah, that's terrible. You just intuitively understand, like King Solomon said in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, that he who walks with the wise, she who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. We just all understand that when it comes to community, as they go, you're gonna go. It's that powerful. As they go, you're gonna go. You can't become who you need to be alone, right? And the reason that that's worth saying, it's the reason that's worth me talking about today is because it doesn't come naturally to live life that way, right? Like, it doesn't just happen by accident. And the reason that's worth me saying, the reason that you've actually said this to other people is because the natural, like, flow of life, it actually leads us not towards rich and vibrant community, it actually pushes us increasingly towards isolation, especially the busier life gets and the more full life gets and the more complicated and hard life gets, we just kind of tend to start turning inwards. People in our inner circle start to dwindle. It's how life pushes us, right? Now, I understand there's some extroverts in the room and you're like, yeah, I'm around people all the time, okay? Okay, well, maybe it's more accurate to say that life pushes you more and more and increasingly towards anonymity. How about that? Like, yeah, a ton of people know you, but they don't really know you, you know? And that's because life tends to push us towards enemy. It's like the joke of like a guy that goes and plays a 4-hour round of golf with his buddy. And then he gets home and his wife's like, how's so-and-so? And he's like, good, I guess, you know? Hey, how's his wife? I don't know. How are his kids? I didn't ask. Hey, did he find a new job? Wait, he lost his job? He's like, what did you guys talk about for 4 hours, you know? It's men especially, we kind of tend to do this even more, is that it's just life kind of pushes us towards anonymity. It's just kind of what flows and what comes natural. Did you know that 59% of Americans say, only 59% of Americans only say that they have somebody that they can share personal information with? Gen Z, 60% of Gen Z says, reports feeling not truly known, even when surrounded by others. 1 in 2 Americans reports, these are studies, 1 in 2 Americans reports experiencing statistically significant, measurable levels of loneliness in their life, despite how connected we all are. And that's because the natural flow of life, that's just where it pushes us towards isolation and anonymity, which is a breeding ground for some really dangerous things in life. For example, it's a breeding ground. Isolation and anonymity is a breeding ground for self-justification, right? It's that tendency in me and in you to excuse and rationalize bad decisions, wrong decisions, unhealthy decisions, which leads us to folly and regret. And we can all have stories of that in our life. We all do. It's a breeding ground for self-indulgence, that tendency in us and you and me to say yes to ourselves when we should say no, which feeds the lesser version of ourself, not the best version of ourself, the one that God's calling us to be, you know? It's a breeding ground for self-criticism, that tendency in all of us to compare the worst of me to the best of you. Because, like, I know me, but I don't know you, and I just look at the Instagram version, and I'm like, oh, and it leads to discontent, insecurity, and things like that. It's a breeding ground for self-service, that tendency in you and me to just make my whole life about me, which leads to selfishness and leads to smallness. We are more connected as a civilization than anyone in history of the world, and yet more of us than ever feel disconnected, unloved, and unknown. And those consequences are really significant. And that's why, it's not just some random statement I threw on the screen, that's why you cannot become who you need to be by yourself. You can't do it. So today, my goal, my hope is to invite you to change that. I'm gonna invite you today to take a step here at East Cobb Church that I think has the power to change that, or at least be part of changing that in a powerful way. I'm gonna invite you to give your faith some friends. I wanna invite you to give your faith some friends. Here's what's happening. In 3 weeks, we are starting or restarting new community groups around East Cobb Church. And those are just groups of people, like smaller groups of people in our church family. They just meet together outside of Sunday and trying to build community. And if you are not in one, my goal today is to convince you to get in one. If you've been in one, my goal is to convince you to get back in one. If you're in one right now and you guys are taking a break, my goal is to encourage you. You got to text each other and re-engage and get back in community here at East Cobb Church. And here's why. Because we believe that circles are better than rows. We believe that. That's like a value we have around here. We believe that circles are better than rows. Okay? And we believe that God loves circles even more than he loves rows much of the time. We're all in a lot of rows in life. That's like a true thing about life. You're in rows right now, you know? And if you're in school, you're in rows all the time. Often at work, you're in an auditorium, you're listening to a speaker or something, you're in rows. We're in a lot of digital rows, you know? Like you watch content and like you're just digitally just kind of sitting in a row anonymously, like watching, consuming content. We're in rows all the time. You go to the movie theater, you go to sports, you go to whatever. We're in rows all the time, but circles are better. Or circles are better when it comes to your life and when it comes to your faith. And that's because there are some unique things that happen in a circle. There are some unique things that happen here that don't happen here in Rose. And they definitely don't happen, or at least not to the same degree, alone. When it's just me. There's something unique that happens in circles. Circles are better than rows. So that's my goal today, is I'm gonna try to give you three, what I think are compelling reasons to get into community group, or at least three compelling reasons to upgrade, to augment, or jumpstart the community in your life, in whatever form that takes, this year, this August. And like I said, I'm gonna invite you to do it here with your faith, to give your faith some friends. So here we go. Three, what I hope are, what I certainly intend to be, compelling reasons. The case for community, if you will. Number one, let's just start with the most obvious. This one's kind of like, duh, but it's worth talking about. Community is where your life and your faith get personal. Community is where your life and your faith get personal. And I know you're like, yeah, duh, I got that. That's kind of in the definition of the word, but no, I think it's worth camping out on for a second. Because did you know, or don't forget, if you already know, that your life is supposed to be personal. Life is supposed to be, is created to be personal, meaning lived in relationship with other people. This is how God made us. It's how he made the world. In fact, you can read about it in Genesis. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the very first page, it's easy to find, the story of Genesis. It says that God made Adam, the first man, put him in the Garden of Eden. That's the word for paradise. Eden means paradise. So it's his whole creation. And God put him in charge of all of it. And it was awesome. It was like everything in the world the way you wish it would be. And Adam was in charge of all of it. He's enjoying all of it. But God makes this observation that we would do well to heed and not forget. He said, it is not good for man to be what? Alone. Like, wait, he's in paradise. Yeah, not quite. It's not good for man to be alone. That is not how I created him. And that's when God made Eve. And that's when God said, hey, Adam and Eve, you go be fruitful and multiply, and you fill the earth with community, because that's what I made you for. One of the highest predictors for depression, anxiety, unhealthy decisions and behaviors is isolation, loneliness. Conversely, one of the main predictors for happiness, for joy, for healthy decisions and behaviors, for success and productivity is great relationships. And that's because, like, your life, your heart, your soul was made for community. And by the way, it's not just your life. The same is true of your faith. Your faith is supposed to happen in the context of relationships. Think about it. That's why when Jesus kicked off his public ministry, he didn't do it by himself. And he didn't just go find like a buddy and be like, hey, let's do this together. And he also didn't do it with 1,000 people. No, he said, here's the context in which I'm going to do everything that I do. And he invited 12 guys to go along for the whole thing. I mean, that's the context, the backdrop for the entire public ministry of Jesus. All the stuff you know about Jesus happens in the backdrop, in the context of a friend group that he made on purpose. It's 12 guys who went for 3 years, went camping, basically, and traveling around Israel and going on adventures together and having fun together, making memories together and fighting with each other and forgiving each other and learning together and then going on like missions together and just becoming brothers over 3 years. That's where the first Christian faith was born. And what I wanted to tell you is that the same thing's true of them. It's true of you. It's true of me. Your life and your faith are never going to reach their potential in isolation. It's never going to happen. Life is exponentially better, and faith is exponentially deeper together. Both of them, they're meant to happen in the context of community. They were meant to happen with a group of people that you belong to, meaning they know your name, they know who you are, they love you, you guys have fun together, make memories together, they miss you when you're gone. And they're meant to happen with a group of people who are going to take care of you, right? They're going to show up when you need them to, celebrate you in the high times, walk with you through the low times, you know, have your back, tend your wounds when they need to, and remind you of what's true and who you are and where God wants you to go. That's what your life and your faith, they were designed to happen in. And that can't happen here. Can't happen here. And it certainly doesn't happen all alone. Nah, there's something unique, that happens here. It happens right here in circles. And I'm telling you, and you know this is true. I know you're like, yeah, I agree with this. But I just remind you, the best things of life and the best things of God, like the best things that he wants to do for you and in you and through you in this next year, they require we, not just me. Like that's one of the essential ingredients. It's not the only one, but it's one of the essential ingredients. They requires we, not just me. Hey, God did not create you for an impersonal life. And he is not inviting you to an impersonal faith. Why? Because he's not an impersonal God. He wants to be close to you. He wants to know you. He's already near to you right now. He loves you. And that's why his organization, the thing you're sitting in right now, that we call church, you know that's not the word that he called it? We did a whole series on this a while back. He called it an ecclesia, which literally means a gathering. Because life and faith is supposed to be personal. And this is true of you. This is true of you and it's true of me. And it's true of you regardless of whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Because we are all uniquely wired in that regard, right? But you know, this is true. No matter who you are or how you're wired, we all need a crew to belong to. And we all need a crew that's going to fight alongside us and have our back when we need it. And I hope you have that. You all need a crew. No matter whether you're introvert or extrovert, no matter how many people you like to hang out with or how long, that's not the point. We all were created and wired for this, okay? And I hope you have it. I hope you have it. And some of you go like, yeah, I do. Man, I've got a crew. And they're like, they're pretty special to me. And that's awesome. Invest in it this year. Double down on it this year. Like dive into it this year. The thing that I'm encouraging you to do is to create a version of it here. To give your faith some friends as well. Because I think that's going to be a really big deal. Christians, if your faith right now or for a while has felt, I don't know, maybe a little sterile, or unfulfilling, or maybe that your church experience feels a little transactional. Perhaps it's because it's not personal. Perhaps because you are spiritually isolated and anonymous. And my encouragement to you would be to plug in to the family. Plug into the family of God and see if your faith doesn't come alive a little bit. See if something doesn't happen that's not been happening before. That's certainly the story for me. And even if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to do this too. You should try out a community group here with us. I'm telling you, if we get this right, if you get in a community group, I believe that you're going to have a front row seat to experience community the way God intended it to be. Community that is marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And over which is an ocean of grace for all the times when we get it wrong and have to repent and reconcile and make amends. I think that's what you're going to experience, community the way God intended it to be. And I would love for you to help us create that here. And not just here, out in our community for our friends and neighbors whom we are trying to love where we live, right? But that's number one. I wrote it in a little pithy way. It's not grammatically accurate, but I like things to rhyme because, you know, I'm a preacher. But this right here. You cannot become who you need to be without getting personal with we. You cannot become who you need to be without getting personal with we. That's reason number one. Most obvious and intuitive, but the next two may not be. Reason number two is not just that your life and your faith, community is where your life and your faith get personal. No, community is where your life and your faith get practical, okay? Here's what I mean. Life's principles, community is where life's principles and faith's teachings, you know, the things that you urgently and vitally need to inform and guide and guard your life, the principles and the teachings that are going to really be the difference maker in whether your life is lived wisely or unwisely, healthy or unhealthy, whether it's successful or not successful, where it ends up where you want it to be or where it's somewhere else where you don't want it to be. Those things, life's teachings and faith principles, in community is where life's teachings and faith principles go from being principles to practices. Right? It's where they go from being possibilities to realities, from big ideas to actually blessings for you and for your family. And I don't know about you, but like I desperately need that in my life. For example, have you ever met somebody? This is what I do. I bet you do it too. But have you ever met somebody who's a collector of something, but they don't ever do anything with their collection? You know, like, you know, known somebody that has, like, they collect books, but they never read them, you know? Or they collect, I don't know, like, something like baseball cards, but they never show them to anybody. They never look at them. Or somebody that collects, like, dishes or china, but they never take them out. I think my mom was kind of that way. You know, it's like, why do we have these? And that's fine. I bet you've known somebody like that. And of course, that's fine. I'm not judging. That's totally fine strategy with your collectible collector's items. Do whatever you want with them. Here's the thing. That is not an okay strategy, and it's not a winning strategy with life's principles and faith's teachings. You can't just be a collector. It's of no value. For example, you can read all the marriage books on planet Earth, but it's not going to do your marriage any good unless you what? This isn't a trick question. Unless you what? Yeah, you put it into practice. You apply it. You do it. You could listen to all the leadership podcasts in the world, but it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to help your career. It's not going to help your organization unless you go do something with it, unless you go put it into practice. You could watch literally all the masterclass videos that are on YouTube, but it's not going to make you better at anything, not going to give you any brand new skill set unless you go apply it, unless you go put it into practice. And the same is true of the most life-changing and the most important and the most profound and the most true content that you'll ever encounter in your life, in my opinion, and that's the life and the teaching of Jesus. Same is true of your faith. In fact, Jesus famously told us this. We say it all the time around our church. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into what? Practice is like a wise man or woman who built their house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and they beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But here's where I enter the story sometimes, unfortunately. But everyone who hears these words of mine, man, you got a great collection. You've heard it all. You watched them sermons. You've listened to preachers. You've done podcasts. You've memorized verses. You got it all. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man or woman who built their house on the sand. The same storm came. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it fell with a great crash. Jesus is saying, hey, the value isn't in the hearing. The value is not in the collecting of my teachings and words. Nah, the value is in practicing. The value is in application. And you can't do that here. You can't do that here. Just sit and listen to me or Andy or whoever, or right here in your earbuds. You can't do it there. You can't do it in rows. And it's actually pretty hard to do it here all by myself. Nah, the best place to figure out how to practice your faith or the wisdom that God's given us for how to manage and live our lives is right here. It's in a circle. This is where Jesus intended you to work out and figure out what to do with all that you've heard. This is where it happens, because it's here. It's here in a circle. It's here in community where you can go from just hearing to actually discussing, to actually unpacking, to actually digging in, to actually, you know, poking at it and doubting it and asking questions about it. And most importantly, applying it to your specific life, to your specific marriage, to your specific situation, your specific finances, your specific kids, your specific career, your specific anxieties and fears, your specific hopes and dreams. Hearing a sermon is not where the magic happens in your faith. No, it's the magic happens when you go from hearing, you actually discuss it and apply it and dig into it. That's where it gets practical. And according to Jesus, that's when it becomes useful to him and to you. And I can't tell you how many times I've shown up at our married small group, or I've shown up at a fire pit with some of the guys that I hang out with here in our church regularly. And I walked in already knowing the truth. I sat down already possessing the principle. Y'all, I work here. I'm a professional Christian. I have books of the Bible I've memorized, not just verses. I showed up already knowing what God had to say, but I wasn't doing it. And therefore, I was getting nothing out of it. I was robbing myself and my family of the blessing of doing what God had said, or doing what I knew I was supposed to do. I walked in knowing and not doing, until I sat down and somebody was like, yeah, that's neat. Like, what are you gonna do about that? oh yeah, that's cool, that's really true. Like, but how does that apply to your life? Or hey, how do you think that applies to like that thing, that problem you were talking about last week? Or that thing you're like really wrestling with? What does that mean? Like, what are you gonna do? How's your life gonna be different? And we started talking about it with people who could see things in my life that I couldn't see, because it's hard to see things in your own life. You get nose blind to your own life. And we're starting to have this conversation, and then in that moment, it got practical. In that moment, the principle got practical. In that moment, my faith got practical. And as a result, my life got better, and I got a little bit better at life. And I went back and did something about it. It's the only way that it really happens effectively. So Christians, hey, if you feel like your faith is sometimes stuck up in the clouds, you know, just kind of like, you know, all up here. If you feel like sometimes your faith is abstract and toothless, you need to get in a circle and you need to start working out. How does all of this stuff and how does all this word of God actually apply to my life? Where is it supposed to show up? Not on Sunday, but on Monday. Man, it'll get some teeth in a hurry. It'll get some teeth in a hurry. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, I think this is for you too. Man, you want to get past the platitudes and you want to get past the hypocrisy that makes you so frustrated at Christians sometimes. You want to actually discover like a real faith that applies to your day to day. Go get in a community group and start strategically talking about how the stuff you're learning actually works itself out into your life and your marriage and your kids and your job and your decisions and your habits and all of those things. That's where it happens. Here's how I wrote it down. You cannot become who you need to be without getting practical with we. That's number two. Number three, maybe less obvious as well, I don't know. But I bet you've experienced, I bet once I say it, you're gonna go, oh yeah, totally. Number three, community is where your life and your faith get powerful. The final thing that you can't do here, and you can't do here alone, can't do it in rows, and you can't do it alone in the way that you can do it in a circle. The final thing that you can't is leverage the strength that God has built into numbers. Can't do that. God puts strength into community. We know this intuitively. We have a saying about it. There's strength in what? Yeah, it's a phrase. It's a strength in numbers, because we just understand. We observe. Our own eyeballs tell us this. Our own life experience. They're like, yeah, there's strength in numbers. That's why sports and warfare and organizations almost do everything within the context of a team, almost all the time. Not all the time, but almost all the time. So we just intuitively understand that's what God made the world. He put and built strength in the community. In fact, King Solomon said it was the wisest man ever to live. He made this observation. He told us this in the book of Proverbs, in the Bible, based on his observations of the world. He said, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands, that's not quickly broken. Like, there is safety and there is support and there is protection that you can only find in a circle. You can only find in a circle. But it's not just that. In addition to that, there is growth that you can only find in a circle. Same guy, King Solomon, says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. They were used to seeing iron in a blacksmith. Ting, 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 iron, sharpening iron into a weapon, something powerful, something strong. He's like, hey, you see how that happens there? It happens here. Something unique happens here. As iron sharpens iron, so one person, so one man, so one woman sharpens another. Accountability, encouragement, pushing boundaries, attaining new heights, defeating stubborn habits, and ruts in our lives, dispelling lies, standing against our enemies. Those things happen best. And sometimes they happen only in the context of a friend or a crew or a group or a circle that's going in the trenches with you. And that is so important. On my own, I will rationalize, justify, I'll make excuses, and I will deceive myself. But when I'm walking through life with some brothers, some friends, some allies, it's not gonna happen. Why? Because they won't let it happen. They care too much, right? Like, they're gonna challenge me. They're gonna encourage me. When necessary, they're gonna cut through the excuses, cut through the rationalizations. They're gonna say things like, no, don't go there, go there. No, don't believe that lie. Like, that's the truth. Hold on to that truth. Say no to that temptation. You should say yes to God. Say yes to wisdom. Say yes to his wisdom, his word. They're gonna say things like, no, you're not a failure. No, it's not too late. No, you're not a lost cause. No, you're not going to give up. I'm not going to let you give up. I'm not going to let you beat yourself up. Why? Because you're forgiven. You're free. You're loved by the creator of the universe. He knows your name. He has the hairs on your head. He is creating you in Christ Jesus for good works, which gets prepared in advance for you to do. So let's get up and go. You cannot become who you need to be without the power of we. Can't. And how many times in the last year, confession, how many times in the last year have I personally been like teetering on the line of confidence and discouragement? Or teetering between, you know, manning up or backing down from the hard right decision or the best difficult thing to do for me and my family? How many times have I been teetering between obedience and sin, between where God was inviting me to go or something else was inviting me to go? And in that moment, someone in the inner circle of my life, you know, walked up and was like, get over there, you know? Hey, go over there. Maybe they were like, you know? How many times did that happen in my life in just the last year? It's too many to tell you. Both in big and little ways, you know? Christians, followers of Jesus, you gotta walk in the power of the body of Christ. You and I gotta walk in the power of the body of Christ because together we are strong and greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Don't journey. Don't fight the fight of faith alone. You gotta leverage the power of we, power of the church family. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, I think the same thing applies to you. You should invite this kind of intentional community in your life, not the shallow kind or just the we have fun together kind. I'm talking about the kind where iron sharpens iron. You should invite this into your life. I mean, I know it's scary. I know it may not be huge normal. You may not know anybody that does this, but I'm telling you, it'll make you better. It'll make you more who you want to be, more who your family, your work, your bosses, your neighbors, or whoever wants you to be. But it's just the principle. Like, you can't become who you need to become, want to become, and God's calling you to become without the power of we. So that's it. Community is where your life and your faith get personal, practical, and powerful. That's my case. So my invitation to you is simply this. This is the title of my sermon today. Find your few. It's my invitation to you, my encouragement to you. I want you to find your few. I know you got your many. We all got our many. All the random people that like kind of know you. But like, they don't really know you. They don't journey with you. They're not showing up when you need them to. And certainly, you know, you got your many on social media, all the people that see your Instagram life. And they're like, neat. And they're jealous, you know. You need to find your few. You already got your many. Find your few. Find your few. And find it here. And look, I hope many of you are going like, yeah, hey, I think we've got some of our few. I hope you do. And if you do, awesome. Keep going. Like I said, you double down on that. You invest in that this year as you never have before because it's more valuable than you and I often think. Sometimes we forget how valuable that is. So you double down. You go invest in that in your few. But one thing I am encouraging you to do is for you to find it here. Like to give your faith some friends. Why? Because the greatest stuff that God wants to do in you and for you and through you, it's going to require we, not just me. It's going to require you to get personal, practical, and powerful. And that happens in circles. It doesn't just happen in rows. So at ECC, East Cobb Church, we have a starting line for all of us that we want to invite everybody to participate in when it comes to this part of your life and this thing that's really important. It's not a finish line. Like, there are many forms of community. There are many degrees of community, ways you can be connected with people and leverage these things, make it personal, practical, and powerful. Of course there are. But we have like a starting line that at a minimum, we want to invite everybody to participate as they're able in one way or another. And that is what we call community groups. Community groups, like I said, are about 12 people who meet regularly at a predictable pattern, a predictable night of the week. And they gather in a home to, you know, do what we've been talking about today, to make it personal, practical, and powerful. They read the Bible. I mean, they pray together, study the Bible together, talk about life together, and just have fun. And create like a little sub-family within the greater church family. Like, that's the whole point. And on August 24th, in 3 weeks, we're going to open up new community groups. And I have an invitation to you is if you're not in one, I want you to go check it out and consider getting in one. If you've been in one before, but you just like got out of it and done it a long time, I really want you to consider getting back in one. We'd love to help you find the right fit. And again, if you're on break, you guys get back together. Like, send the text out. And your leader probably has already done that. You can go here. to check it out, eastcobchurch.org/groups. You can text us, EC groups to 51255, and we'll send you a text on the 24th being like, hey, they're open. Here's the link. And you can get in a group that you've been checking out. But at a minimum, we want everybody in a community group. But of course, man, it can go up from there. Of course, you can like dial it up from there. Like that's kind of like the starting line for us around this church. Like, but some of you may go, hey, in addition to that, like I need a mentor. I like someone to just personally like pour into my life for a season. We have people around our church who love to do that. Or maybe some of you need to get in like a specific short-term group that lasts for, you know, just a shorter season. Like our community groups generally go a year, but we have some groups that last for like 8 to 10 weeks, like starting point. Some of you who need to explore your faith, you wanna ask any question that you have when no one will judge you. You'll just like pursue answers together and explore faith and you need to get in starting point. Others of you maybe need to get in a growth group. You're like, no, I got the basic questions answered. I wanna dig into like, what do we believe and why do we believe it? And you need to do like a growth group. Or maybe some of you need to do renew mentoring and you need to explore things that are in your heart and like what God may wanna do to heal you and lead you. We'd love to get you involved in that. Maybe you need to get a mom's group. You're like, no, I'm a mom and I need some allies who are also moms and we have those groups and moms that are journeying together. Or maybe you're a dude and you want to sit around a fire pit with some other guys who are just trying to fight for each other and for their families and for their marriages. And you need to get and sit around a circle and be more real than you've ever been in your life. There's a lot of ways that you can dial up, you know, community in your life. And we would love to help you do that. Why? Because there's something unique that happens in it. And this is what we're trying to create here at ECC. And I want to invite you to help create it with us. So get in a group. But because I know there is some natural hesitation, there's a lot of really good reasons not to, and I feel them too. You know, I'm busy, or I don't really share with people. I don't really know anybody, and this, that, and the other. I know there's a lot of reasons and a lot of natural hesitation. I wanted you to hear from somebody who was in your shoes recently and had all those same hesitations, but he decided to get in a community anyway. And he asked, could I share my story, and could I speak to those in the audience maybe who are not really sure if they should take the step? So I want you to hear from Mark right now.
Hi, my name's Mark Catlos. I've attended East Cobb Church for the past 3 wonderful years. Because I had a bad church experience as a child, I was really, really afraid to go to church, the point that I had been 40-some years outside of the church. One of my coworkers suggested that I go, you know, to North Point. So that next Sunday, I accepted the invitation and I went to church. My life has been so much better since then. At the end of the service, they mentioned Starting Point. So I walked into Connections and signed up for Starting Point. A lot of people were there for different reasons, and it was easy to be open and just giving to each other. And that gives you, in my opinion, space to really be yourself and not some dressed up Sunday morning version of yourself. My Starting Point leaders were Mark Rizzo and Woody and Jennifer Long. Afterwards, I attended church with the Longs a couple of times and really, really got to know them and have the privilege of just being in their presence. They're such wonderful and giving people. In between Starting Point groups, they started attending East Cobb. And they're like, Mark, why don't you come sit with us at church? So I got to sit in a service at East Cobb for the first time. There was the opportunity opened up in August of being a group leader. The fact that, you know, the booming voice went off in the back of my head, just 2 words, do it. You'll find yourself closer to God for it. One of the things that I love about the small group that I get to be a part of is we pick topics that are important to us, both personally and spiritually, and we talk through them as a group. I'm grateful to know that if I have a problem, even a very, very personal one, that there's a circle full of gentlemen that I can bring it to. And we can bring it to light together. I can honestly say with zero hesitation that I belong to a family, not just a church, not just a building, not just a bunch of seats and people, but a family that legitimately cares about each other. It's manifested in the way they greet you when you come in the door, to the circle that you get to sit in your small group. God created us because he wanted a family. And it's nice to see that in action on a weekly basis. I know I should say Sundays, but Wednesday nights have become my favorite day of the week.
What would you say to someone at church that's, they're considering, do I join a group? Oh my gosh, should I lead a group? What would you say to them?
I would say do it. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you, if you're being honest with yourself, exposing some of those parts of you that you don't like to be exposed, but it's 100% worth it.
Thanks, Mark. Mark, are you here? Is he over there? There you are, Mark. Thanks for sharing your story with Woody and Jennifer. Way to go, guys. It's awesome. But we got a seat for you in a circle. Love for you to take it. So find your few. Go check it out. Our group's team is going to be right back here with the coffee or where we're going to have the King of Pops. Or are they outside now? Did it stop raining? We have King of Pops today. But our group's team is going to be like right back here near the coffee. If you would like to just ask more, like, hey, tell me more about this group's thing again. What is it? How do I get one? Do you have this kind of group? If you're looking for a specific kind of group and you don't know if it exists, just we'd love to talk to you. Go ask. We can tell you all the details. But go find your few. Thanks for being here today. Next week, we're starting a brand new series with our senior pastor, Andy Stanley, called Too Good to Miss. But we love you guys, and we'll see you next Sunday. Go love where you live.